A good friend sent a text message inviting Emma and me to a celebration in Lakeland. My former worship leader at Shepherd GMC Cocoa Beach had a massive stroke 10 years ago, and his wife is throwing a party to celebrate his recovery and all that God has done in his life since then. And I really wanted to go and support my friend, but I knew that I should say no because I've been traveling so much lately, and the demands of family and ministry are really cranking up as we move from Easter into the summer. So it was hard to say no. So hard that I let Emma do it for me. I wonder if you've ever felt like this. Is it hard to say no when people ask you to do things even when you're already at your limit? Many do, and there are different reasons for this. Deep down inside, some people don't feel good enough, and they worry that people will not value them unless they constantly perform. Others fear that if they say no, it will disappoint or anger people, leading to conflict or rejection. And still others think that they are the only person, or at least the best person, who can do the job, and if they don't take personal responsibility, then everything will fall apart. So knowing that we cannot say yes to everything, but also acknowledging how hard it is to say no, we need wisdom. Wisdom to help us discern our best yes. Wisdom to discern the most important things in life that we need to protect by saying no to other demands. And part of this wisdom involves distinguishing between bad habits that hurt us, neutral things that are a waste of time, good things that give us fleeting pleasure but not lasting joy, and the best things that help us experience the fullness of life. And as we learned last Sunday, to gain this wisdom, we must keep the Sabbath. We must carve out and fiercely protect at least one day a week to rest our bodies, renew our spirits, and remember who we are. During this time, we worship, pray, and think deep thoughts to gain the perspective that we need to organize our lives around wisdom in God's rhythm so that we can pursue things that bring lasting joy. And God tells us through Scripture that this practice is foundational for our faith and well-being. In fact, God says our lives literally depend on it. And this is why observing the Sabbath is number 4 in God's list of top 10 commands. If we fail to keep the Sabbath, we will be dominated by the tyranny of the urgent. Our life will be untethered and chaotic. And looking back, we will regret how much time we've wasted. So today, I want to build on this foundation of Sabbath by offering a practical tool that helps us discern some of the most important and life-giving activities. And after offering this tool, I want to consider a biblical practice that will help us free up more time for us to focus on these kinds of life-giving activities. So in her book, In Pursuit of Happiness, therapist Perry Good says that human beings need at least 4 things to be happy, and I would encourage you to write these down. There is a Lexio Divina sheet in your bulletin, and there should be pencils in front of you. She says that we all need love and belonging, a sense of personal freedom and also power, and we need to have fun. Since our time is limited to 24-hour days, 7 days a week, and since so many things compete for our time, we are wise to focus on activities that can simultaneously give us all 4 of these gifts. And for me, one of these activities is surfing. Of course, it's fun, which is, you would think that's the main reason why I do it. But also riding waves, especially big waves, gives me a sense of freedom and power. Perhaps most importantly, it gives me a sense of belonging in a unique friend group. I'm not Pastor Mark when I'm with my surf buddies. I'm just Mark as we trade tall tales of the waves we ride. And as you think about your own life, I wonder, are there any activities like this for you? Once we know the kinds of things that we're searching for, it's helpful also to know where to focus our attention among the many different areas of life. And we get some help in another book titled Build the Life You Want by Dr. Arthur Brooks. According to Brooks, the best place to focus our attention are faith, family, friends, and work. So as we build a spiritual practice that connects us to God, as we invest in loving relationships with our family and friends, and as we engage in our work as a labor of love in service to other people, he says we can experience satisfaction, purpose, and lasting enjoyment. And I believe that if we put the ideas of Perry and Brooks together, it can give us a practical tool for discerning our best yes, to help us discern the things that we should prioritize in our life and protect so that we can experience abundance. So I want you to ask yourself this question. What are things that I can do when developing my faith, spending time with my family, and developing my career that can simultaneously give me a sense of love, freedom, power, and fun? And most of us know from experience that investing in these areas gives us the largest return on joy. It's kind of common wisdom these days. But we also know that there are a lot of things that we can do in these different areas of life that do not cultivate very much love or freedom or empowerment or fun. There are other things that can. And so I'm wondering, are there specific things in your life in these areas that can provide all four? Now, you may think that it's more likely to find a unicorn having lunch with Bigfoot while walking through a magical forest than finding these kinds of activities, especially at work. But if you take some time to think more deeply, you may be surprised at what you discover. So as crazy as it seems, cooking dinner for my family can sometimes give me this kind of joy. Now, I want to be honest. When I first was given this responsibility, I didn't like it. And in fact, I felt resentful. But then, over time, God gave me wisdom to help me think about this activity in a different way, along with a really good therapist in Melbourne. So since I'm the one planning and preparing the meals, I am free to decide what everyone eats. It can also be fun looking up different recipes on the internet and blasting Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin while I'm cooking. When I prepare something new and it turns out well, it gives me a sense of personal power and accomplishment. And finally, when I sit down with my family to eat, I have belonging and experience love. Unless one of the kids complains and then I force them to eat it, which increases my sense of power. I'm kidding. What about you? I want to give you a couple minutes this morning in the middle of this message to think about this right now, including those of you who are watching online. And so I want to encourage you again to take out that Lectio Divina sheet and pick one area of life. You can pick faith, family, friends, work. And I want you to ask yourself, is there a specific, just one activity that I can do in this area of my life to give me a sense of belonging, freedom, personal power, and fun? And I really want you to do this. And by the time that we're done, I'm only going to give you 2 minutes. And after we're done, I want you to have something written down so that we can come back to it in the next part of the message. And so just take a few minutes. The question is on the screens too, so that you don't forget. Well, friends, I hope this has been helpful. And perhaps when you were doing this exercise, you came up with something new. But it's more likely that you thought about something that you already did in a different way. And sometimes wisdom just helps us to see things from a different angle, which can change the way that we relate to it, change our attitude, and change the way that we engage in that activity in a more loving, kind, and faithful way. And I hope this has been helpful, because I think that if you will continue to think about these high, what we might call high return activities in other areas of your life, it can help you to figure out what are some things that I need to say yes to and really protect, and what are the things that I can say no to regarding demands on my time. Now, we started this morning reflecting on why it's so hard to say no. I want to circle back to this idea that I'm the only person that can get things done. This assumption is driven by different fears that can cause us to think too highly of ourselves or too lowly of others. So I'm the only one that can get this job done, and if I don't do it, then everything's going to fall apart. Or I'm the only person who can do it right, and it's easier for me to do it myself than to train or micromanage someone else. Or I'm the smartest and most competent person in the room, and if I give that to others, they'll just mess it up. I'm way up here and you're way down there, so get out of my way and let me do my job. And this kind of covert pride and superiority is problematic insofar as it compels us to say yes to things that we can faithfully delegate to others, thereby freeing up time for us to do more life-giving and impactful things. Now, while there are some things that only you can do, these are far fewer than you tend to think. As we develop wisdom about what's most important and drop our pride and perfectionism, we begin to see that there are other people who can do many of the things that we compulsively cling to. And in addition to fear and pride, there is also some selfishness in this, if we're honest, because if we don't give other people opportunities to do new things, then we deprive them of experiences they need to learn, grow, and develop. When we share responsibility with others, we empower them. So it's better for us and it's better for others when we exercise wisdom by delegating whenever possible. And this is something that God had to teach Moses. If you remember, God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egyptian slavery to the promised land, and in the process to receive and share the heart of God's law, the Ten Commandments, so that they could organize their life together as a covenant community. And in this special role, Moses eventually got the idea that he was the only person that God could speak through to solve the problems of the people. He tried to do everything by himself and ended up doing nothing very well. Every day, people lined up all around his tent so that he could solve problems in disputes and give them permission to do things. And with all these demands on his time, Moses became overwhelmed and overloaded. And one day, his father-in-law, Jethro, came to visit, and this is what the Bible says happened. The next day, Moses sat as a judge for the people, while the people stood around Moses from morning until evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What's this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone? while all the people are standing around you from morning until evening. Can you imagine how good that might feel to have everybody just be the center of attention all the time? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When a conflict arises between them, they come to me and I judge between the two of them. I also teach them God's regulations and instructions. Moses' father-in-law said to him, what you are doing is not good. You will end up totally wearing yourself out, both you and these people who are with you. The work is too difficult for you. You can't do it alone. Now, when Moses heard this, I can imagine him making all kinds of excuses to why he needed to keep doing everything. You don't understand, Jethro. I'm God's man, and no one can do these things like me. I don't have the time to train people. It's easier for me to do it myself. And I can relate to this. Even when it comes to tasks of the church. A few months ago, I committed to stop doing the church newsletter every week because it takes so much time, usually on Friday or Saturday. But when I think about handing this off to someone else, I feel afraid, thinking, no one knows more than I do about all the things that are going on around here, and someone might forget to make an important announcement. Something might get left out, or they might pick a grainy image to go above the announcement, or they might misspell some words. And this fear has prevented me from seriously seeking out another person to do the newsletter. Then I can say to myself, well, I have to do it because no one else has offered to help me. Woe's me. So I get it, friends. And you can disabuse me of this excuse by volunteering today to take responsibility for the newsletter. In the case of Moses, Jethro would not let him off the hook. This is what he says. And I think it's on the next screen. Now listen to me and let me give you some advice. Now, has anybody ever said that to you? Sometimes you want to stand back and get defensive, right? So the first thing we got to realize here is that Jethro is saying, I need you to listen to me. I need you to stop thinking that you know everything and just listen to me for a minute. And then he says, and may God be with you. Your role should be to represent the people before God. You should bring their disputes before God yourself, but you should also look among all the people for capable persons who respect God. So it's not just anybody. It's people who are competent and people who have character and represent God, respect God. They should be trustworthy and not corrupt. Set these persons over the people as officers of groups of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. You see what's happening here. Jethro is telling Moses, you have to develop a system. Let them sit as judges for the people at all times. They should bring every major dispute to you, but they should decide all of the minor cases themselves. This will be much easier for you, and they will share your load. Clearly, God does not want our yes to come out of pride, fear, or selfishness. Rather, God wants us to honestly assess our own abilities and time constraints, and when possible, empower other people to do things that will set us free to focus on more impactful and life-giving activities. And so I'm wondering, what are some things that you can start delegating? And not just at work. Because we tend to think about this in terms of our career, right? And some of you guys are that manage teams are thinking, who could I get to take some work off of me? That's great. I want you to continue to do that. But there's more to this, guys, because life is more than work. What are some things you can start delegating in your family? There are some parents out there who do everything for your kids, and you're depriving them of the opportunity to learn and practice new things that they're going to need to do when they move out of the house. And so this is a great way to empower your kids and grandkids. Are there things in your personal life, or if you're involved in Kiwanis or Rotary, things like that, on a board of a local nonprofit? Are there some things that you're trying to do all by yourself that your friends could help you with? Do you have any friends? Because some people who can't practice Sabbath and can't delegate, they're so busy they don't have the time to develop friendships. If you develop friendships, are there some things that they can help you with? And what are some things that you can delegate to God? Are you awake, church? Some of you are carrying burdens beyond your strength and pay grade. You're trying to solve problems that you cannot solve, and you need to give it to God. It may be this burden of never feeling good enough, because if you don't feel good enough, you're going to spend your life trying to convince other people that you are, and that is going to drive a lot of your yeses. And in many ways, you'll look back and feel as if you've betrayed yourself. It may be the burden of never feeling good enough. It could be the fear of being undervalued, the fear of being seen as incompetent or failing or lazy, the fear of being rejected. Is there something like this in your life that you need to give to God that drives a compulsion to say yes to everything and to live in perpetual chaos and exhaustion? Another way of asking this question is, do you trust God enough to protect the life-giving activities that He's given to you, to say yes to those things and to no to other things, trusting that God is still on the throne, that the world is not going to fall apart if you take a break and do something else, and that it will be there an hour later when you come back? At the end of the day, friends, this is about being wise and humble enough to ask for help and to acknowledge that we need each other. And to do it in a way that is not demeaning, but empowering to other people. Friends, there are so many things that we can do better to manage our time and to find a more faithful, healthy, sustainable way of life, which God wants for you. If you weren't here last Sunday, we talked about this is not just about your health. It's not just about your emotional well-being. God gives a fourth command in the Ten Commandments to practice the Sabbath because it's not just about your work-life balance. It's not just about your health. It is about your relationship with God. It is about living in the rhythm of God and knowing your own limits so that you don't destroy yourself. And so we have to find a more faithful, healthy, sustainable way of life, but we can only do this one step at a time. We build this kind of life one brick at a time. The most important thing, the foundational thing, again, is keeping the Sabbath and using this time of rest to deeply think about the things that you can pursue for more peace, love, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And building on this foundation, we then have the time to consider practices that help us cultivate these gifts. Like today, as we've considered the question, what are the things I can do in relationship to my faith, family, friends, and work that will bring me more love, freedom, fun, and a sense of personal power? Or, as we've considered, how we can free ourselves up to do more of these high return activities by delegating lower tasks to other people or lesser tasks to other people when possible. My hope, friends, is that you will take some time, some Sabbath time today, and maybe later on during the week, to think more deeply about these things, so that you can exercise more wisdom regarding what is worthy of your time. What are the things to which you need to say no, the things you need to say no to this week, so that you can say yes to things that will get you closer to God and closer to the people who love and depend upon you, so that you can experience the fullness of life? And I can't answer these questions for you. I can only point you in the direction that God specifies through Scripture and reveals through best practices, and encourage you to take the time to do it. And I hope that you'll do that this week. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, it is so difficult to live within the constraints of our finitude. We don't like limits. And we know, even going back to the story of the fall in Genesis, that that was a result of Adam and Eve pushing back on your limits. We want to remove all of those limits and just kind of thoughtlessly do whatever comes to us in the moment. But we've discovered, Lord, that as we do that, it leads to chaos, anxiety, fear, a disordered life that can not only damage our health and wreck our most important relationships, but also damage our relationship with you and prevent us from having open hands to receive the gifts of abundant life that you want to give to us. And so, Lord, as we continue to think about our fears, think about our pride and our selfishness and all the reasons why it's so hard for us to say no, help us to surrender the things to you that only you can heal, and give us wisdom and discernment as we try to find our next step in a more sustainable, healthy, and faithful way of life. For we know, Lord, that when we are living in your rhythm and we are living in your wisdom, that we are of better use to you in healing this world of its sickness. We pray all of these things in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Hey everyone, it's Pastor Mark, and I want to thank you for tuning in. I also want to thank First United Methodist Church of Cocoa Beach, which helped make this ministry possible. If you would like to make a donation to the church, go to our church website, fumccb.com. Also, if you're in town, I hope that you will visit one of our services in person so that we'll have an opportunity to meet. May God bless you as you find your next steps in following Jesus.